It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's portable, practical pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome and thanks for joining me for another edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics. I'm your host, Dr. Paul Smolin, a board-certified pediatrician, now in my 34th year of practice. From the playpen all the way to the prom, if it involves children, we talk about it here. Now, the other day, I was thinking about how many of the recommended therapies that I learned in medical school and residency, also known as the standard of care, have changed during my pediatric career for routine illnesses. It struck me that we've entered an era of minimalism with regards to treatment. It seems to me that medicine has aged into its middle age, no longer eager to treat every condition with a therapy, assuming that medical science was smarter than your child's body, smarter than Mother Nature. I think that concept is passé. No, we've entered the era where interventionalism is out and natural healing is in. Hence, the rise of integrated medicine, homeopathic medicines, nutritional and aromatherapies. Let me give you a few examples of how previously recommended treatments have changed during my pediatric career, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's start with a short list of health problems pediatricians are frequently consulted about, and I think you'll get the point. Well, let's start with a condition called infant colic. This is a condition originally thought to be caused by an upset tummy in an infant, hence the name colic, which refers to intermittent crampy pain in the stomach. When I started in pediatrics, the standard treatment for a colicky baby was some type of depressant medication, usually morphine drops called paregoric, or some other brain depressant like barbiturates or alcohol. Yeah, you heard me right. We were giving these heavy-duty medications to newborn babies because they cried. Well, in fact, I recall that when I arrived in Charlotte in 1982, one pediatric group sent every newborn home with a prescription for paregoric. Morphine for every child, yeah. Not in today's world. In fact, none of these sedative depressants are used anymore, except in the most extreme cases of colic. Well, what about cough and cold medicines? We certainly have backed away from these medications relative to the good old days. These medications are now not recommended for any child under 12 years of age. Well, I'll bet your childhood was full of cough and cold medications. Remember Robitussin? Dimetapp, Actifed, Chiritussin, Hicodin, Tussionex, and Delsym, names from your and my childhood. It turns out that not only were these medications of dubious value, but unfortunately, hundreds of children overdosed on them each year, some even dying. Bye-bye cough and cold medications. If you want to hear more about this subject, check out these archived DocSmo.com episodes. I have talked about this topic extensively over the years. There's a list of these podcasts at my website. Now let's talk about fever. In the era of meningitis and other serious bloodstream infections in children, before the 1980s, fever often meant serious disease in a child. It still does at times, but rarely in today's vaccine era. In the meningitis era, pediatricians believed that response or lack of response to an anti-fever medication could be helpful in sorting out which febrile child had a serious life-threatening illness and which just had a self-limited viral illness. Response to fever treatment was an important tool pediatricians used to distinguish non-serious, self-limited viral illness from serious life-threatening sickness. You can see why treating fever was such an obsession in these days, but not today. It turns out that lowering a child's body temperature during a routine viral illness often prolongs the illness in terms of the illness's total duration. In today's world of minimalist treatments, fever reduction is often just a way to make a child more comfortable, not part of therapy or diagnosis of a septic illness. Ironically, in today's world of pediatrics, you're more likely to read far more articles about the untoward side effect of acetaminophen or ibuprofen than you are about these medications' useful properties. Oh, what a difference a few decades can make. Next, let's talk about diaper rash. Much has changed with regard to care of the diaper area in recent years as well. Powders have been out for quite some time because of their potential toxicity to a baby and a mother's lungs. If little Johnny or little Janie gets a nasty rash in today's world, no longer do we shotgun the treatment with potent steroids, antibiotic topicals, antifungal topicals, or combinations of the above. No, now we target treatment with whatever seems to be the most appropriate therapy given the child's specific problem. The goal is to promote healing by restoring the child's natural skin balance and protective defenses, whether that be by just air exposure, gentle cleansing with water, or probiotics. All really common sense, natural therapies. And what about diarrhea? Did you know that Imodium, which is also known as loperamide, that's the generic name, was a baby antidiarrheal medication before the adult world discovered how effective it is and started using it? If you want a medication that can stop diarrhea, this is your baby. No pun intended. It's very effective, but it turns out that Imodium actually can prolong the duration of diarrhea and the length of the overall illness. Ironic, wouldn't you say? A medicine designed to shorten diarrheal illness that actually prolongs the symptoms? There is a reason that a child's body goes to all the effort to have diarrhea, to get rid of the offending germ. Duh. Parents don't like diarrhea, and kids don't like it either. But it has its use, and it turns out that Imodium is a dangerous medication when given to children under age 3 years. Its use is definitely off the recommended list for 21st century pediatrics in young children and maybe in all children. Well, no discussion about pediatric therapy would be complete without talking about ear pain and middle ear infections. When I was a young pediatrician, treatment of ear infections consumed a full 40% of my office work. Not so today. Not only do children not get nearly as many ear infections as they did 30 years ago, largely due to vaccines, but pediatricians often recommend not treating them. Heresy! Just a decade ago, ear infections are uncomplicated and self-limiting infections in about 60% of children who develop them. That natural healing thing again, careful non-treatment is the modern approach. And how about lacerations and abrasions? These happen all the time to kids. Well, what could be more traditional than mom or dad getting out a bottle of hydrogen peroxide to clean a scrape or cut that their child receives? Well, cleaning wounds with peroxide is no longer recommended. Soap and water, yes, but not peroxide. It turns out that hydrogen peroxide does destroy bacteria in wounds, but it also damages healthy tissues at the same time, ultimately slowing down the child's healing. Moms in the 21st century, put down those bottles of peroxide and back away. So what is the theme here? It's the realization that stopping bodily reflexes like cough, fever, and diarrhea, reflexes honed for thousands of years, is not wise and is sometimes downright dangerous. Yes, it's unpleasant to see your child cry with colic, have diarrhea, cough violently, or have fever, but these biologic responses to illness are part of his or her natural healing and usually are just part of the process of them getting well, but not always, and that's where your pediatrician can really help. So if you have any concerns about your child's health or any aspect of their well-being, make sure to get the advice from their pediatrician. I think you'll find them very useful. Well, I want to take a moment to thank all of my followers. You've made DocSmo.com one of the most listened to pediatric blogs in the United States. And I hope that over the past 5 years of blogging, you've gotten as much out of this process as I have. Creation of this blog and the writing of my first book have been the experiences of a lifetime. I couldn't have done it without your support. I hope I can continue bringing you information that you can use to augment your parenting decisions. And I'm flattered and honored to be an influential part of your family. If you can, take a moment and send a comment to my blog, www.docsmo.com, or write a short review on iTunes. And remember, subscriptions are free and easy to take out at my website. That way, you can stay up to date with all my new podcasts and articles. This is Doc Smo, recording in Studio 1E, reminding you that the new treatment principle is keep it minimal. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.